Welcome back to the Roundtable. I'm Sarah LaDuc. Corinna Selby was born and raised in Munich, Germany, and has traveled extensively in the U.S., Europe, and Southeast Asia. She has been baking professionally for about 6 years and is a graduate of the Cambridge Culinary Institute. Her pastry baking classes, both at Corinna's Kitchen in Ghent, New York, and at Different Drummer's Kitchen in Albany, New York, fill quickly, as her friendly teaching style and pragmatic, easy-to-follow recipes make the classes fun and packed with culinary adventure. Corinna's family comes from the Bavarian countryside, and she grew up making traditional European holiday decorations throughout the year. Part of this tradition is the creation of beautiful Easter eggs, dyed with organic, food-safe ingredients, and creating patterns that use shapes and designs that are found in nature. I visited Corinna's kitchen in Ghent earlier this week. Thank you so much for welcoming me into your home and kitchen.
I think it's wonderful to be with you. Thank you so much.
How did you first begin baking?
I've always had a love for baking. And after my son was born, I realized I couldn't really do my other job so well anymore. I was a travel guidebook writer. And with a child, you have to find something else to do where you don't have to travel so much. So I figured I've always loved baking. So I went to pastry school and I became a professional pastry chef.
And when did you begin teaching baking to other people?
When I first started baking in the States, people would always say to me, oh my God, this is so beautiful and it tastes so delicious and I can't believe that anybody could make something like this. And I realized it's actually not so difficult and my goal is for people to come and learn how to do it themselves and get the confidence to do it. And that is how this happened. I had a wholesale business and just realized that people really had a desire to learn this. So I wanted to give them the opportunity to do this without having to go full on into pastry school.
Do you follow recipes from somewhere else or are you creating most of what you make with the knowledge that you have?
It's both. You know, you have a base knowledge and then you start experimenting. And that's also one of the things that I think is important for my students. To go home with the confidence of experimenting and trying out new things. You can give them the basis, and then they can start playing with their own flavors.
What are some of the signature things that you create?
Well, croissant is definitely one of them. People always love anything I do with lemon and lime. I have a whole class just focused on that. I go very much with the seasons. Right now it's Easter time, so I do a lot of petit four, you know, with the pastel colors, and they can start playing with that. For Christmas, we do a lot of white things. There's always a rhythm in the year that you can follow.
You mentioned that people always comment on how beautiful your food is, and it is. I've looked through some photos and have some petit four in front of me, and they're absolutely gorgeous. Is the look part of the experience? Is that very important?
It's very important. And if you know a few of the tricks of the trade, then you can do it at home as well, which is wonderful.
What are a few of the tricks of the trade?
Knowing how to fill a piping bag, how to hold a piping bag, how to glaze a cake, how to put together a cake, just how you cut things, which temperature you have to cook sugar to, all these kinds of little tricks.
So you're a scientist.
It is a little bit of a science.
Today we're going to dye some eggs using natural dyes from organic and natural ingredients. How did you begin doing this?
Well, it's not really something you learn in pastry school, but I'm European and I noticed that in a lot of my ways I go back to the old things that I used to grow up with because I think it's wonderful to not have it lost. Whenever some, you know, festivity comes around, like Easter, I try to think, what did I do as a kid and how can I incorporate that? And so this is how I started doing this again because I used to do this with my grandmother when I was a kid.
And what are some of the things that you use to make the dyes?
Well, the easiest one, in my opinion, is the onion peels. I think everybody knows about that one, too. You just take the onion peels and you cook your eggs in those with a pattern that you put on. And I like to use natural things like leaves or grass from the outside. And it's important that you tie it down with a stocking. And a twisty tie works really well. And like that, you get a really good imprint of that image on your egg. And the color that you get from the onion peel is sort of an orange brown.
It's beautiful. What are some of the other things?
Well, my favorite this year is actually the red cabbage, and surprisingly enough, it comes out as a very turquoise color. Also, one that's really simple is turmeric, and hibiscus flower is great. I experimented with blueberry, grape, spinach. Spinach is really difficult, but everybody loves the outcome of it. I think it's a little bit difficult to get the spinach to stick to the egg. But even if you have eggs that don't come out perfectly, it's nice to throw them in the mix just to keep the color palette alive. So that was fun.
What about this?
This is a funky one. It's food safe. It comes from a cacti, and on that cacti lives a louse. And it's when you crush it up, it makes this very awesome color.
That so it's a bug?
It's a bug. But it's the only one that's kind of icky. The rest is all really, really just vegetation.
Well, and the egg is a beautiful magenta color. So exactly. Food safe bug, I'm in.
I agree with that. It's like, and if you have only one of them in the whole mix, then it's like, okay, you just don't eat that one egg. But the whole point of making the eggs with the natural dye is that you can eat it without having to worry about eating some E something something.
Right. What is the yellow one?
Turmeric.
Oh, okay.
And you can also do turmeric. You make the whole egg in turmeric, and then you take the half egg and dip it in some kind of a blueberry, and then you get a two-colored one. And if you take lemon juice, you can take the color off and then paint with red beet juice, I did here. So you can do that too if you get really bored.
No, just really into it and you want to experiment. These are absolutely gorgeous, and I'm so excited for you to show me how to do it with the onion peel.
I'm excited.
All right, let's go.
All right, let's do it.
All right, so we're starting with eggs.
We're starting with eggs. For the onion peel, which is the one that you can do instantly, you need to use white eggs because the color that comes out of dyeing the white egg will be like a brown egg. So you're pretty much just getting your imprint on there. So what you need to do is you need to rub your egg with a little bit of white vinegar, clean it off. That makes the egg hold the color better. So we're doing that with all the eggs. The other colors that we were just talking about, like the turmeric or the hibiscus, you can do with brown eggs as well. Especially nice, it comes out with the red cabbage dye. It just gives a more intense color. Mm-hmm. But for the onion, it's best to use white eggs. So I'm just cleaning off some white eggs here now with the vinegar. Rub them dry. And then you pick your plant material that you like. I went out and I got some three-leaved clovers. I'm hoping it's four leaves. Or some interesting plant material that you like, and you just place it on your egg, and then you have to secure it with a stocking. I went and I got new stockings, obviously. And another important thing to mention is that you should start collecting your onion peels a few weeks before Easter comes around, because you're going to need a lot. You're going to need the peel of like 30 onions.
Is it a specific type of onion or just any kind of onion?
Red or brown works.
Okay. You've positioned the leaf on the egg and then put it in a bit of a pantyhose stocking.
Yep.
And wrapped it tightly, and now you're shutting it with a twist tie.
Exactly. And I have a pot full of onion peels, mixed, red and brown. It's important that you use not a metal pot, but something like enamel or cast iron ones, because otherwise it'll change the color of your dye. And if you do any of the overnight dyes, you should use a glass bowl to have your eggs sit in overnight. The ones with the red cabbage or the hibiscus, you have to boil the eggs first. And what you need to do is you need to boil your egg for like 12 minutes so that you don't get that ugly green ring on the egg yolk. Because the goal of these eggs is to eat them. So you need to boil them first, and then you have to let them sit overnight with your prepared egg. And like that, you can get the color on them. You have to place the eggs in cold water because you cannot poke a hole in those eggs like you normally would when you make a hard-boiled egg. And in order to avoid the egg cracking, you need to place it in cold water and then start the boiling process together.
All right, so we're doing onion peels, and then, surprise, we're also doing the louse, the cactus louse one, which is actually called what?
Coquinil.
Thank you.
I think you can get it in places that dye fabric or wool. So you might be lucky in those kinds of areas to get more interesting colors that are food safe. You have to make sure that they're food safe. So then you turn those pots with the eggs and the plant material on, and then you have to boil them. Once they come to a boil, they should boil for like 12 minutes, and then you have a good egg that you can use for egg salad or whatever you want to use it for. So now we just have to wait, though. In the meantime, we could take some of the boiled eggs that have been sitting in some of the dyes overnight out, and then we could see what happened to them.
Sounds great.
Okay, so here I have the red cabbage. And the red cabbage, I think, is very strange because it looks so red, but it dyes so turquoise.
I don't understand the color math on that, not one bit.
That's why I always say to my students, it's best if you go home and experiment yourself also. Don't be afraid to just jump in. The worst that you can lose is an egg. So let's see, this is a red cabbage. When you prepare your red cabbage, you have to chop up a whole head of cabbage and you just boil it in some water, you know, cover it with water in the pot. Again, an enamel pot is the best. It smells bad, so you should air your house out after. Okay, so what do we have here? Is there anything on here? There you go.
Oh, wow. That's beautiful. There's a leaf design and a sort of, as it's wet, it's more of a slate blue, this one.
It depends on what some eggs, you can put different eggs, and they all look white to me, in the same dye, and they still come out quite differently. Each egg takes the color differently. So if you're a perfectionist and you really want to be sure of the outcome, this might not be for you. You have to be adventurous and go with the flow. See, that's awesome with the lace, too.
Yeah, that's beautiful. You'd wrap that one with lace, yeah. And it has the flower lace pattern all around it.
And look how that's different. Yeah. It's completely different turquoise. And we have, what is this? Hibiscus. So I have such a color palette in my fridge right now that I had to label them. So, because it's easy, they all look sort of reddish, brownish, these colors. But when you take the eggs out, they all come out completely different. So this is the hibiscus, and that's a very purple color. Maybe not so attractive, but could be interesting.
I think it looks great.
Oh, here's one with stickers, because you could just go to your local arts and crafts store and get some beautiful little butterfly stickers, is what I got here. And if you're not boiling these eggs, you can take the stickers off, and voila.
It's a perfect butterfly shape.
Then we have red beets are kind of hard because they also get really slimy and you can't touch them when you take them out of the water. You want to be very careful how much you touch it because you can rub the color off very easily. All the other ones are a little bit more resilient. This one is really delicate. So you just have to take it out of the stocking and just let it sit and then see what the outcome is. And that's what I was talking about. You have to be able to just say, hey, this is free flow and interesting.
Yeah.
So for beets, you would have to take your whole beets and juice them yourself. Some stores have juiced beets. Some of these organic juices of like cherry and things like that I've found are quite disappointing. But as I said, it's best to just try and experiment. So once they start boiling, we just have to watch a little bit the time because you don't want to have like green icky eggs inside when you open them up.
Right.
So now we just wait. Then after they're boiled and finished, you should plunge them in some ice water and like that you stop the cooking process. So I'm going to get that ready.
Okay.
Another trick for the onion ones is what I like to do is I like to rub a little bit of bacon fat on the finished egg because it gives a beautiful shine. And you can't do it so much with the other colors because the color rubs off too easily. With the red cabbage, it works well. With the turmeric, it works well. I would not even try it with the red beets. Just leave it alone as it is. Don't boil them like a madman. Boil them gently because you want to avoid cracks in the eggs. You can already see how this color is happening.
Yeah, it is.
I love this color. It's so Easter-y, and it's so instant. That's such a good feeling, you know. That's why the onion is good, too, because you get instant gratification. Don't have to wait overnight. So that's why I recommend the onion ones with the kids. And the others, it's better to just, you know, do yourself. Or if you have patient kids, then it's okay. But I'm going to take these out now because we just have enough cooking time done, I think, on these ones. So I plunge them in the cold water, ice water. Stop the cooking. The longer you leave it in the color, the more intense the color gets, obviously. And then, let's see what happened. If you don't want your fingers to become a color palette as well, you should wear gloves. This is the one you made.
Yeah, this is the one I was like, this is the one I put a leaf on.
Okay, so I think that the pink came out beautiful.
Yeah.
Look how intense on this side and not so intense on this side. And check this out.
That looks great.
Oh my God.
I did a great job.
You did an awesome job. I mean, it is hard to beat that egg. That's as good as the one my son ate. That's fantastic. So that color is very satisfying.
It is. It's really it perfect. Is. The bug one. The cactus louse.
So I've noticed the more irregular the leaf or whatever material you pick, the better it comes out on the egg. If it looks like a perfectly beautifully shaped leaf, it's usually a disappointment.
Right.
And the funky ones are always more exciting.
Yeah.
You could also try canned beets or cabbage because there's vinegar in them already. The eggs usually take color better if they have some kind of contact with vinegar. So that's why we're doing that whole clean-off thing. Or if you can't choose your own beets or something, you could try that as an option. I'm taking the onion ones out now. The reason we're leaving also the peels in there with the eggs is because it gives the eggs a little pillow to sit on and not crack so easily.
Makes a lot of sense. I'm putting them in the ice water again.
If you can find them amongst all the peels. That was a perfectly white egg, and now it's an orange egg with a leaf on it.
It looks great.
It's my favorite part, the taking the stocking off and being surprised, because through the stocking, it doesn't look like anything happened to any of them. And then when you take it off, it's like, wow, check it out.
That's beautiful.
Looks like a feather.
Yeah. Feather-shaped leaf. So we've just rubbed them with the bacon fat, which gives them a beautiful, shiny luster. And then I asked, how did you know to do that?
I said, you have to have a European grandmother. And I think it's just because all these old traditions, I like to keep them alive. And I think that adults and children really get a kick out of it.
That's wonderful. This is one of the most fun things I've ever gotten to do. So thank you so much.
Thank you so very much.
Corinna Selby teaches classes at Corinna's Kitchen in Ghent, New York, and at Different Drummer's Kitchen in Albany, New York. There's more information, including egg dyeing instructions and photos of the eggs we made, at wamc.org/roundtable. Corinna's website is corinnaskitchen.com. That's C-O-R-I-N-N-A-S kitchen.com. I'm Sarah LaDuke, and you're listening to The Roundtable on WAMC.